Extra once again this year, sponsoring this program. This is when we normally begin, even though the state legislative session doesn't begin until Monday. But I'm here this morning sort of on behalf of the whole delegation. Representative Strom and Representative Fincher and I were with the school district a little while ago. And then we had a surprise today that U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe was going to be in town. So we're going to turn the program over to him after I do just a little bit of self-promotion. So I became a grandmother for the first time today. Thank you, Jane Phillips Medical Center, for all the great care that you're giving my daughter-in-law, Amanda, son Fletcher, and brand new baby girl, Georgiana Wren Daniels, and they're going to call her Georgie. And she was born at 3 o'clock yesterday, and she's a new little Bartian, a new little Oklahoman, and they were busy yesterday. We had 9 or 10 new babies born in Bartlesville yesterday.
Oh,
so the city is growing. So it's all wonderful, and we're going to have a great session. And I'm really going to give the rest of the time to Senator Inhofe, and then the three of us will be back next week to tell you about the first week of session after the State of the State address from Governor Stitt, and we'll have a much better sense of where all of us are heading in this session. Economy's great. U.S. created, what, 345,000 jobs in January. All news is good. Oil is up. So let us take into this weekend just being very grateful and appreciate the blessings we have of being Americans and living in Oklahoma. Senator Inhofe?
You know, Julie, I was just, I know you're leaving, you have to be gone, but I'm trying to remember back when I had my first grandchild. And I can't remember, it's so long ago.
But you have so many,
I've
Senator.
Got so many,
How
I
many
really
now?
Do. I've got, well, 20 kids and grandkids. I count them all in one big block. And it's really kind of interesting because, before you leave, let me tell you one story that happened. I happen to be, I know a lot of people listening to this right now hate Trump. Well, I don't hate Trump. I love Trump. He's doing things that other people talked about doing and couldn't do. Anyway, I was up. I have something that Charlie knows this, but he's not here today. Every weekend, I do something I know that Chuck Schumer's not doing. And so that things like I chop my own trees down, red oak trees, and we make logs and split wood for all my 20 kids and grandkids and all that. Well, I was doing this about 3 weeks ago, and I had one of my grandsons, Jonah, up with me. And we're up there, and we were going after dark, splitting wood. So I'd have two grandsons. They'd alternate back and forth, 30 minutes each side. And we're splitting away, and the phone rings, and it's the president. And he said, well, Jim, I want you to know this is the first call that I've made since I left Iraq. And I'm in Air Force One. And we were talking about the what we want, kind of talking about who should be the new Secretary of Defense. And after we got through talking, he said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm splitting wood with my favorite grandson. He's really not my favorite, but I had to say that in front of him. And he said, oh, you are? Well, let me talk to him. And so little Jonah got on the phone with the president. I don't know how long, it seemed like an eternity they talked. And he was talking about how much he likes his grandfather, that's me. And he said, but not as much as another one that's up there, I bet, with you right now. And that is your grandmother, Kay. And then they talked and talked and talked. And when that was over, little Jonah went running to the phone and called everybody he knew. He said, because he was spending the evening talking with the president.
Well, that President Trump, he's a special sort of guy, and I agree with you. I like him, and I like what he's doing. But we're also very, very glad to have you up there with all the wisdom and guidance you can provide him and others. It's a blessing to have you representing us in Washington.
Well, you're very nice to say that. So it's an honor for me to be here. I enjoy... You know, I don't have a lot of friends, but I do have a lot of friends in Bartlesville. So it's nice to be up here with you. And a lot of things are happening right now. I mentioned Trump. There are more things that are happening there that people are aware of. And I'd like to have the opportunity to talk about that.
Okay. And just real quick, I know you're going to be at La Quinta today at 10:30 for a meet and greet. So anybody who would like to come out and have a chat with Senator Inhofe, join us at La Quinta Mansion. They're on the campus of OKWU at 10:30.
Well, that's good. Are you going to be there?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to sign off now and let you and Garrett have a conversation.
Do it. Okay? All right. See
you. Thank you, Senator Daniels. It's nice meeting you again. All right. And again, it was nice meeting you too.
Senator
Inhofe for the first time in my life. And of course, as we mentioned, Charlie's gone. He's up in St. Louis with his family. And again, President Trump, as you've mentioned, has been doing incredible things. You know, the government shutdown happened for a really long time about the border wall. And I know you kind of want to talk about that a little bit this morning.
Well, yeah, the shutdown. Let's keep in mind what the shutdown was, because a shutdown was actually for a long period of time, and it was really 25% of the government shut down. Well, it wasn't really shut down altogether, because half of the 800, the number of people who were involved in that, half of them were actually still working full-time their regular jobs, and the other half were not, were actually sent home. And we, in fact, James Lankford and I introduced legislation to say those individuals who are still working should be paid. I mean, this is it's actually a scriptural thing. If they're working, they should be paid for it. And we're getting ready to vote on that when it looked like things happened a couple of 3 days ago that are going to be causing it to open up. So people are back at work now. But that didn't solve the problem, because the president gave himself 3 weeks to come up with something that is going to resolve this problem. He's doing his best to do it. And I'm not sure, you know, how that's going to turn out. But I do know this, that he's done everything he can do. And the Democrats are hoping he cannot get something done. And so what they're doing is objecting to what he's trying to do in terms of securing the borders without using all of it as a wall. Well, it never was going to be a wall. That's 2,000 miles. It never was going to be a wall. There are natural barriers. There are other technologies that can use. And so now I think that the House is going to come forth with something. The Democrats are going to come forth with something, knowing that if they just have an obstacle, object to this, that they'll be responsible for a shutdown again. And we don't want that to happen, and I don't believe it's going to happen.
And speaking of the wall, I know you guys have been reintroducing some legislation to help fund that wall. That includes Mike Rounds, John Kennedy, and Ted Cruz, Bill Cassidy, and that's the Wall Act. Could you explain that a little bit to us,
I put
sir?
That together, and while you're doing that, I'm looking that up. This is something, and if everyone who's listening right now will really carefully listen to what we're saying, what I am saying right now, it occurred to my staff came up with this idea about 2 months ago, that there is a way that you can pay for it that no one should object to. Now, we will use this as the instrument to take care of that problem, the wall problem. What this does, it does pay for all the wall that we need. It provides the money. They say that's going to be somewhere around $25 billion over a period of time. And what it does, it just two things. It does several things, but two of the main things that people need to actually write down and be aware of is, number one, it requires a work authorized Social Security number to claim various tax credits, like the child tax credit. And now, right now, it only requires a Social Security number, work authorized Social Security number, for the child, but not the parents who's actually receiving the money. Now, you combine that with the second requirement, and that is it requires every welfare applicant. Now, we're talking about food stamps, housing, Medicare, Medicaid, and that type of thing. It requires them to verify citizenship using the e-verification system, which is it's a system that is absolutely work and absolutely accurate. Now, we took this to the Joint Committee on Taxation, and they said this would create, in the period of time that we're talking about to build a wall, $33.5 billion, and all you need is $25 billion. So the bottom line is, if anyone is opposed to this, they're saying that we want to keep paying welfare to people who come here illegally. We want to reward people, and that's the main. See, this has another benefit. This has stopped the crowd of people kind of coming in, because if they can't get welfare, they don't want in. And so this is something that is provides the money, and it does so in a way. When people say that he said that at one time that Mexico is paying for it, well, this is almost Mexico paying for it, because these are individuals who are coming here illegally. Sure, they're not all coming from Mexico, but they are coming across the border at Mexico. So that's a way of doing it that I think that's hard to vote against, although Democrats are against it. You know, people don't realize, and I don't want to come across so blatantly partisan all the time, but there are a lot of things that are just different than Democrats. Democrats are not going to vote for a strong national defense. You know, we saw what happened during the Obama administration when he controlled the House and the Senate. We had just, it was Well, I'm going to give you the figures. This is something else you ought to write down because it's not believable, but it's accurate. I did the calculation. During the last 5 years of the Obama administration, and if you use constant dollars, and I used 2018 dollars to make this comparison, the 2010 budget for all of military during that period of time was $794 billion. At the end of 5 years, it was 5,086. So what you're talking about is reducing the budget for the military by almost 25% over the last 5 years of the Obama administration. Now, all the Democrats voted for that, all the Republicans voted against it, and we're now rebuilding the military. During that time, we were down where we were not having, providing the kind of defense that people think that we need. There's kind of this idea that America has the best of everything, and that used to be true in terms of defending America, but it's not true anymore after the Obama administration. And again, this is all, no one can argue this. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that we're now outnumbered by the Chinese in our artillery, 5-1, Russians, 10-1. That's artillery. In fact, he went so far to say that we don't have the capability that they have, and they have a system right now that stops us from being able to use SAMs, that's surface air missiles, and our Marines use F-18s. At that time, at the end of the Obama administration, we were down to the point where only 30% of our F-18s were working because they didn't have maintenance. And the last thing is the big thing, and that is hypersonics. There aren't many people listening to us now who really are familiar with that term because it's brand new. Hypersonics is a delivery of a weapon system that is measured as five times the speed of sound. And so it's something that, and both China and Russia are ahead of us now. So what we're doing now is making up for it. Our budget in fiscal year 18 was up to $700 billion. Then it was $716 billion in fiscal year 19. And I can say to you, even though it hasn't been established, it's going to be about $750 billion. So we're on the way to recovery right now in terms of our military.
And Senator Inhofe, you had one last thing that you kind of wanted to talk about this morning, and that's the Civics Act that you are trying to push through?
Yeah, that's going to be good. In fact, I'm glad that the event that I'm going to be going to from here is going to be out at the university, and I'm anxious it's going to be moderated actually by Everett Piper. And I'm sure he'll be pleased with this because he's probably not aware of it yet since we just introduced it. The Civics Act, well, let's back up. In 2004, Congress required schools to teach the Constitution and civics education. They did this by having grants going out. Well, we checked and we found out that today the schools can get grants to teach civics education, but not required to teach the Constitution. Or the history of the Constitution, the principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And so right now we have introduced the Civics Act that would require schools, before they would be eligible for a grant, to actually teach the Constitution. Now, that's a no-brainer. It should be. Now, let's wait and see. I'm sure that you'll have opposition, partisan opposition, because they oppose things like that. But I'm glad that you are interested and are aware of that, because not many people are. We just introduced it.
Yes, sir, definitely. And is there anything else that you'd like to add about the Civics Act, or maybe the funding for the wall, or maybe?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that one of the things that's going on right now that you are aware of, and I think people probably have questions about it, and I know when I attend the event at 10:30 this morning, they'll be concerned about Bill Barr, who's the the nominee for Attorney General. I met with him yesterday in my office, and let me I know there are a lot of people out there who think that he was not as strong as a pro-gun as he should have been way back in 1991. I was there, and that's not true. I do remember very well, he was trying to defeat this comprehensive crime bill that was actually used in my first election. My opponent at that time was for it and was supporting it. We both served in the House of Representatives. I was opposed to it because all it did was try to give people the opportunity to, instead of punishing criminals, give them dancing lessons. You wouldn't remember. You're too young for that. But a lot of people listening to us right now do remember that. Well, anyway, I happen to know at that time he was fighting those individuals that were trying to, in the negotiations on that comprehensive crime bill, and that's where something came up where he was misquoted. And I think also, I'm for all gun groups. Of course, the big one is the NRA. And there are a lot of others that are smaller behind it trying to catch up. And I don't blame them. I'd try to do the same thing. But you're finding some of them that are opposing Bill Barr, and I don't think that's justified. So I that's my feeling on the thing. The other thing I want to make sure that people understand that's happening right now is with the judges. I mean, look, people, I've never seen the hatred in my life for a person as they are with President Trump. And I'm talking about almost all the media. Not, I say almost because there are some of them, Fox News and a few others. And certainly talk radio has been very fair and on both sides of the Trump issue. But here's a guy that's actually getting things done. And I would say if there's anybody out there who is being confronted by people, and some are listening to us right now, I'm sure. Keep in mind, a good response is, well, look what he's done that no one else has done. First of all, and I have to say this, the economy nationally, and it was due to his actions, the rate reductions as well as all the regulation reductions, that we have a better economy now than we've had arguably in my lifetime. And right now we're at full, not just full employment, we're above, we're better than full employment right now. The second thing is rebuilding the military. He's actively supporting us in my, chair of the committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, so this is kind of my deal. And he's right there with us in rebuilding the military, and that's a huge deal. But then look at the judges. I mean, he's done more for getting judges who have read the Constitution in place. Right now he's up to some 30 of the appellate judges, new ones, have been confirmed in his first 2 years. Now that's more appellate judges have been confirmed in the first 2 years than any 2-year period in the history of America. And he's as in addition to just those judges, the regular circuit court judges, he's up right now to 30 and 53 district court judges. So and of course we're all familiar with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. In fact, I think that one of the best things that happened to this administration was for the people of America to see how Kavanaugh, in his nomination process, how he was abused. And so right now, just those three things, the economy, rebuilding the military, and the judicial system. That's enough right there for people to be very proud of the president we have. Sure, I cringe a little bit every time a tweet comes out. I admit it. But, that's his style. And he couldn't get the things done that he's gotten done if he didn't use that style.
Yes, sir. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm sorry we are all out of time this morning, but Senator Inhofe, thank you for joining us.
It's my honor to be here with you, and you tell Charlie that you did as good a job or better than he does.
I definitely will when he gets here.
Okay. Thank you.
That was a Capital Call here on K1, brought to you by Phillips 66. Brew and Buzz on the way. Listening to the